This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Going to have Cole Thompson join the program here later on. Can't wait to get Cole's thoughts here as we get closer. Day number two of SEC Media Days. So a bunch of coaches, including your coach, Jensen Lewis, going to be speaking here, Clark Lee and Vanderbilt, and a bunch of different coaches today. We'll get his thoughts on the SEC writ large. Going to get to some baseball talk, obviously, with the Daily Diamond, and we'll get to our best bets before this show is done. But you know it. We love it in the betting market, and certainly in the sports world. It is time for today's edition of our Chaos Candidates. You know, golf does go on. And I know for people like me, we can't already wait for Augusta National next year. And yes, there's the President's Cup and got the FedEx Cup playoffs. But there's actually a tournament this week. And you can bet on it, people. And while we're talking, I know I'm still talking about it and thinking about what happened this week at Royal Birkdale. We might want to start looking ahead a little bit to maybe the next big thing on the PGA Tour. Young Jackson Koivun. Who's this guy? Well, he's a young kid that just turned pro. He's going to make his third professional start on the PGA Tour this week. Had a very good showing at the U.S. Open. As a pro, did miss the cut the first time out and then bounced back with a top 10 in his second at the ISCO Championship. So, Jensen, yes, Scottie Scheffler's in the field. And we're going to get this from Wednesdays with Wes tomorrow and break down the odds and who we like in this tournament. But 36-1 for young Jackson Koivun. Now, this was undoubtedly the best player in collegiate golf when he was at Auburn last year. Okay. Oh, to be a young kid again and turning pro and going to the PGA Tour. And I know that sometimes we feel like we anoint some of these guys and not exactly ready for the big time. Remember, I faded him his first time out and he did miss the cut. So he cashed those tickets. I don't know that I'll be fading him much longer, Jensen. I don't know again that I'm absolutely going to play him in an outright market this week at 36-1. But if you want chaos and you want to make your arrival on the PGA Tour, you know what you do? You go out when golf fans are starved for entertainment after the last major is done, and you go beat a tournament that world number one Scottie Scheffler is playing in, and oh my goodness, we would have chaos in the golf world, and the best kind of chaos, unlike what we saw last week at Royal Birkdale.
Going to be fun to see what happens at the trade deadline upcoming here in just a couple of weeks' time. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, for people just joining us, the biggest chaos candidate are the Detroit Tigers and their man, Tarek Skubal. It is going to be the decision of the deadline. If Detroit is out of it, do they jettison arguably the guy that could change the pennant race in either the American League or the National League? Now, the offense has been a lot better. They've been one of the top teams hitting homers here the last month or so. The pitching, as we know, has been there pretty much even through all the injuries they've had to sustain, including Tarek Skubal, who got hurt early this season. Listen, the American League is wide open. The Tigers have already shown they can surge into the postseason. Now, that didn't happen last year, but a couple of years ago, remember, Dave, it was Tarek Skubal and then just the bullpen. They didn't have any starting pitching. They found a way to make it work, and they ran off an incredible final couple of months to find their way into the postseason. I think this is one of those spots where we'll take it day by day, but you and I will put a pin in the Tigers and Tarek Skubal as arguably the biggest chaos candidates right now at the trade deadline.
Speaking of the trade deadline, what about the battling Bucks? We are family. The Pittsburgh Pirates for my next chaos candidate. It's been, I'm showing my age a little bit. I do remember the last time they won the World Series. It was Pop Stargell. It was the We Are Family. It was the popular song, and they sang it. And the whole city of Pittsburgh was captivated by it in 1979. I hated it as a kid because they were in the same division back then as the Mets. They were in the NL East back then when they won their last World Series. What about this year, Jensen? Right now, they'd be tied for one of those last wild card spots. So the first thing you got to do, Pittsburgh, to really be that agent of chaos is you got to get into the big dance. Well, how do you do that? I do think you fortify. You made moves in the offseason. This is why these were they were one of our play-on teams here before the year began. And those tickets look great, right? The over tickets and that sort of thing. But let's talk bigger picture for Pittsburgh. Let's get a little greedy here if you're there by the Berg and you want to do something you haven't done in a generation, right, for some, since 1979. And you look at the odds market here to win the World Series, it's not as long as you might think. It's only right now, what I'm seeing here on the board, Jensen, it's not terribly long, 70-1. It feels playable to me. It feels like that's a realistic price if they could get in. Now, what would that mean? You'd have to go make more moves at the deadline and shore up. I think the offense is good. Is it good enough? The pitching can be elite, but is it good enough on the back end? I think there are places that the Pirates can improve. Jensen, why not push some of those chips into the middle if you're Pittsburgh right now with the landscape potentially changing in Major League Baseball? Why not us battling Bucks? Let's wave that Jolly Roger a little bit. Let's get out there and walk the plank, Pittsburgh, and do something that hasn't been done and be a true agent of chaos. You can play with the big boys this year, Pittsburgh, if you just set your mind to it here before the trade deadline. I like them as a chaos candidate, 70-1 to win the World Series.
Anytime you see a San Diego area code come up during the trade deadline, you know that's AJ Preller calling to figure out what can we do and what kind of deal can we make. I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of calls coming from various area codes to Mr. Preller about maybe chaos candidate 1B, where Tarek Skubal is chaos candidate trade deadline 1A, if you will. Okay, I can't buy San Diego's offense to save my life. If you ask me to put stock in them right now, there's no chance I could give any hard-earned American dollars on them to make the postseason. Now, when you look at one of, maybe outside of Jacob Mizorowski, the great fastball of our time, it might be with the right arm of Mason Miller. As unhittable a reliever as there is in the game this year, averaging upwards of 16, 17 strikeouts per nine. His whip is around 0.8. I believe the average against is right around .120. It is surreal to say these numbers out loud at this point in the season. Okay, AJ Preller spent a boatload to go get him from the Athletics. I don't know if he can get back anywhere near the package that he gave up to get him. And I understand why you'd want to keep a hold, knowing that this fan base sells out pretty much every home game. It has not been the offensive output that they expected at the beginning of the year. Problem is, you're going to find a couple of teams that might be a little bit more desperate, that might want to push more chips to the middle. And on paper, I don't think the Padres are going to find their way to the postseason. If they do, and they keep Mason Miller, and somehow, some way, this offense starts to really roll the next couple of weeks, then maybe AJ Preller rolls the dice and says, fine, we'll keep it intact and we'll go for it, not knowing what next year might look like. But man, oh man, Mason Miller's name is going to be a very talked about one in the next couple of weeks and even right up until San Diego has to make the difficult choice, whether to keep him or whether to send him on his way.
Okay, 100-1, as you're seeing on your screen, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network right now and YouTube TV. So 100-1 for the Padres to win the World Series, 50-1 to get out of the National League and win the pennant. Are they the team that, if you move on from Mason Miller, and there is going to be plenty of suitors, to your point, Jensen, about calling AJ Preller right now and saying, okay, let's make a deal. Like, hey, we're going to get Mason Miller, so let's make a deal. Like, normally sometimes you can start conversations that way. Like in the declarative statement that we're going to get this deal done, what's it going to take? If you're AJ Preller and you're at that point, I'm not saying he is, but if you are, would you entertain the thoughts of moving on from a Fernando Tatis Jr., from a Manny Machado, and literally tearing this thing down and saying, the money we've spent on these guys, we've spent all the money, we've made the deals to get them, and it has not worked out, and we're going to go that other way, and we'll be the surprise fire sale. Not just one guy, but a fire sale. Could you see them doing that if they feel like, well, if we're getting rid of Miller, we're kind of bailing on the back end of the bullpen to close games out, then why are we holding on to some of these high-priced salaried guys?
Boy, that fan base has been so loyal, and they show up. And a big reason why is those big ticket items, man, with Tatis and with Jotto. You are literally staring in the face of that fan base and saying, not only do I don't think we can win this year, I don't think we can win for the next couple of years. And so for a team that is just two games under 500 and 2.5 out of a playoff spot, it feels far longer than that, just knowing how putrid their offense has been. Listen, that rotation, you know, Michael King has been great. He's been basically their only starter you can count on for most of the year. Walker Buehler, okay, you know, in spurts has been good. They're also going to get calls on Adrian Morihone, you know, the great left-hander, upper 90s fastball. Yep. They've got a horribly difficult decision to make. And the problem, they're in Atlanta for another three, then they got to go to Miami, then they'll come back home, a quick couple of games against Colorado, and then a series against San Francisco. So, I mean, this is it. This is go time. Their playoffs start now if they're going to be a buyer, not a seller at the deadline.
You know, Tatis Jr., you look at the numbers, 282, and that's actually not bad hitting that leadoff spot, just devoid of power. Jackson Merrill's supposed to be the young superstar in the making. He's only hitting 219. Manny Machado is just over 200. 201 is what we're seeing. They bring in Ty France. He's actually been pretty good. Sometimes it just feels like it's the sum of the parts is not equaling the whole that I think A.J. Preller thought he was getting this year. That's going to be a fascinating team to watch at this trade deadline, if they push in or if they're all out. Let's talk some more baseball with some of the matchups, some good pitching matchups on the docket today. That's next with the Daily Diamond right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
If you can believe it, NFL preseason is just a couple weeks away. The best bettors are already getting ahead of the game. Lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month. It will go up. You're going to get instant access to our 2026 and 2027 NFL betting guide, plus our upcoming college football betting guides. Going to give you everything you need to attack those futures, win totals, conference races, and the upcoming season before kickoff even begins. And the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get for the VSiN Pro subscription. With that access, everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl, which is in next February. So that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen, great conversation. I'm going to look forward to another one that we're going to have with Cole Thompson coming up in the very next segment, talking all things SEC football. We have some really good baseball matchups and some pitching matchups we're going to break down, and we're going to do it right now in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Boy, we talked about some of these high-profile series to kick off the second half after the All-Star break, the Dodgers going right to the boogie down, taking on the Yanks, and then just keeping on going down I-95, and you get to Philadelphia, and you run into Sanchez yesterday. You got some offense there, but you give up 10. And then you got Zach Wheeler today. Jensen, I think this is why you might like that futures ticket with Philadelphia when you've got a 1-2 punch against anybody's best offense that you have, and maybe the Dodgers have the best one in Major League Baseball.
I'll add a third in Jesus Luzardo. You have three of the top 10 starting pitchers in Major League Baseball all on one team there. So that is certainly as top-heavy a rotation as you'll find. Let me predicate today with check the weather on the East Coast. We are already getting hammered here in Northeast Ohio with thunderstorms, and it is looking like we could have some issues, not only for potential delays, but we may not even get some of these games in today. The weather, especially in the Bronx, in Philly, and in Boston, we are potentially not going to be playing some games today. If we do, then the handicap for me, especially in this Dodger-Philly game, we're going to zig when everyone else is zagging. I know a lot of people are going to want to back Zach Wheeler at a short money line price as a home favorite, and I understand why you'd want to do that. Zach Wheeler has lost two games all year, Dave. One of them to these LA Dodgers out at Chavez Ravine. Gave up four runs in that start. I would fully expect you get the left-handers in force tonight. Otani, Freeman, Muncy, and being able to do what you need. And hopefully Kyle Tucker can contribute as well. I just think for the price point and what I'm getting with Justin Wroblewski, who has been excellent and an all-star this year, I'm going to go ahead and go against the public here. It's always a good opportunity where I can get a Dodger team at plus money. Last night, I did not like the matchup, knowing that Christopher Sanchez was going to be in a good spot, being able to neutralize a lot of left-handed power bats. I think the lefty bats get a little bit more of Zach Wheeler, even with the added motivation part of being the all-star snub. It's a little extra rest here, but I just think the matchup suits the Dodger bats to take advantage of one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Do we need to readjust the rearview mirror and are the objects closer than they appear? Because Zach Wheeler is now 10-1 to win the Cy Young. I know the Miz is still over a $3 betting favorite to get this thing done. But Jensen, you mentioned it. Let's just say he goes out and shoves today and avenges one of those high-profile losses, if you will, against the Dodgers. I wonder what this number could look like. Is that a playable number to you at 10-1 for Zach Wheeler right now?
Remember, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and I said when he was around 30, that you might want to get some shares of it just in case. Now, Jacob Mizorowski did leave the start yesterday against the Mets after four innings, and I think a lot of that also predicated on managing workload. It's an open secret that obviously Milwaukee is monitoring what has been an elevated innings threshold already this year, and you know that they have designs not only on through the end of the regular season, but a deep run into October. So that will be part of the handicap moving forward. How much of the training wheels will stay on here for Jacob Mizorowski to get through the end of the season? If they are shorter outings, Dave, that will call into question how much of a favorite he could be. So if you do think that it's Wheeler, you do think he's going to pin his ears back and go, then maybe not a bad idea to jump in on it. Mizorowski, remember, at the All-Star break, was a $5 favorite. He's down to minus 330. So things are tightening quickly. And I think Zach Wheeler, I mean, even Christopher Sanchez, still good at plus 650. Yeah. Either of those would be great items to get in your portfolio.
Let me stay on that same track, mind, for another game that you have highlighted today, and that would be the Reds against Seattle. Now, I know because it's Zach Wheeler, even Christopher Sanchez, higher profile guys, maybe in the national media spectrum, if you will. But here comes Burns at 20-1 to win this award, potentially in the Cy Young. This young right-hander is filthy. I know the team's in last place here, and sometimes that can, for no fault of your own, maybe it gets skewed a little bit. What do you make of Chase today in this outing against Seattle, and what do you make of him in that race?
Yeah, as far as pitching wins above replacement in the National League, Dave, only Yoshi Yamamoto, Chris Sale, Jesus Luzardo, Paul Skeens, Christopher Sanchez, Jacob Mizorowski are ahead of the newly extended ace 1B, if you will, if you want Hunter Green as ace 1A for that Reds rotation. As it stands in the matchup later on tonight, the Pacific Northwest, Chase Burns up against Luis Castillo. Burns is on a run here in 13 of his last 15 games, Dave, allowing three runs or fewer. And if you want to take a shot on the Reds tonight money line, Reds are 14-4 in games that Chase Burns has started this season, including winning six consecutive starts into tonight. Luis Castillo been very solid here at home as of late. Two runs or fewer allowed in three of his last four there at T-Mobile Park. Mariners, again, this correlated play, if you like the Reds money line, Mariners are 1-5 straight up in the last six home games started by Luis Castillo. So if you think all that comes to fruition tonight, then the Reds on the money line, but more so, Dave, looking at the under in that Reds and Mariners game, I have played it, and I will bring it up here for you in just a moment. I have played Reds Mariners under 7.5 at -$1.11 tonight. So two plays in pocket thus far, the two games we looked at. Dodgers on the money line, +$1.18. Keep your fingers crossed they play that game tonight. Reds Mariners under 7.5. We do know they will play that roof on or roof open there in T-Mobile Park.
Rays and Blue Jays, and again, we talked about it. You can go back, please like, subscribe, VSiN by the Books podcast with Greg Peterson. Kind of underwhelming the way that Kevin Gausman has been, and really a disappointing season here. That bounce back year from the Blue Jays, oh so close to winning it just a season ago. I don't know that this is going to have a team that's going to be able to muster up a wild card run, but you'd think it would have to start sooner than later. But you got Rasmussen on the other side here for the Rays. That's not an easy opponent here, Jensen. What do you make of this matchup north of the border?
Yeah, this was more looking at the Cy Young look on the American League side. And Dave, no shock here, Cam Schlittler, Dylan Cease, both the top two betting choices there at +135, plus $1.40. I mean, they're nearly even in the odds market where Schlittler and Cease are to win the American League Cy Young. Drew Rasmussen is the third choice at 15-1. And if you want to go down narrative street here, and we might just do that, Dylan Cease on a Blue Jay team that is floundering right now. Now, the numbers are really, really good. He is at a 3.7 wins above replacement on the pitching side. Only Schlittler barely ahead of him at 3.8 in that category. Drew Rasmussen is farther down at 2.3. And his strikeouts per nine are nowhere near Dylan Cease, who's at 13.3. Cam Schlittler at 10.6. Rasmussen is at 8.8. I bring him up because if you're looking at a value selection and you want to go and subscribe to best team in the league narrative with the best pitcher, if it's not the Yankees, it's not going to be the Blue Jays unless they turn it around anytime soon here. Drew Rasmussen at 15-1. I mean, I don't want to like go full all in on like, yeah, he's got a viable path to it because he doesn't strike out a lot of guys. Sonny Gray's behind him at 17-1. And again, just kind of looking at where we are here as far as pitching wins above replacement, Sonny Gray is 21st at 1.8. Rasmussen is a half win above replacement better. And you're at 15-1 for Rasmussen, Sonny Gray at 17-1. So again, you kind of say the narrative has brought some of these numbers come crashing down. Yeah. It's an interesting handicap from where some of the starting pitchers are in not only the odds market, comparing them to where the analytics tell you they are as far as value to wins above replacement. So I just wanted to bring it up because it was something that kind of caught my eye. Not sure if you're interested outside of the top two guys, and I can completely understand why you'd want to stay at either Schlittler or at Cease to win the award.
Let me just ask you very quickly here as we're wrapping up Daily Diamond today. When I look at the Jays in totality, 8 games under 500, 5.5 back of a wild card spot, is it over for them, dare I say, in a an Animal House voice, over? Did you say over? Like, do you feel like they're going to be traitors at the deadline and say, we cannot run this back and simulate what we did a year ago?
If I got to stick a fork in two teams, if you're going to hold me to it, I would stick a fork in the Padres and I would stick a fork in the Blue Jays. They are dead last in scoring. Wow. This is so different than what we watched in north of the border just a year ago.
Maybe Bo Bichette needs to go back there because it worked there. It's not working in New York, and it's not working certainly in Toronto. When we come back, Cole Thompson is going to join the program. He's the host of SEC Unfiltered Podcast. Media days continue down there in Tampa. We'll get his thoughts on the conference where it just means more. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Winners Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that are going to put two lucky fans in the world's biggest football contests for free. One winner is going to receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another one's going to earn a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. So both winners will receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN Studios tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. So enter by Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. He is the host for SEC Unfiltered Podcast. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson. Joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line, talking all things SEC football. Cole, great to have you on the program today. Jensen and I were talking about it. Jensen's alma mater, Vanderbilt, and their head coach, Clark Lee, will be up there at the podium today down there in Tampa. Do you glean anything from what you hear from the coaches here over the course of a couple days?
I mean, it's talking season and you want to take a few notes here and there, but nothing out of the ordinary. For a team like Vanderbilt, there are so many things that you got to look for going into this season that revolve all around the quarterback position. Are you going to go with the up and coming prospect that's already been in the building? Or do you go with the five-star number one quarterback prospect from last year's recruiting cycle in Jared Curtis? And what does that offense look like, and how different is it going to be when you don't have a mobile quarterback that's not afraid to lower his shoulder to get an extra 3 to 4 yards on his way to the Heisman Trophy presentation? I mean, like, that's where we are when it comes to a program like Vanderbilt. I think it's interesting when you hear a guy like Eli Drinkwitz, who, while immense amount of respect for him and what he's been able to build at a place like Missouri, talking about why it's a cupcake schedule for the Big Ten, when brother, you also lost to Boston College and Kansas State as out of conference games and have yet to been to the college football playoff. It's like, right message, wrong messenger. Kirby Smart's coming out of the woodwork to say this stuff. People are paying attention. Eli Drinkwitz is coming out of here. It's why the Big Ten is going to go ahead and try to go ahead and say the SEC is an overrated conference.
I don't blame you. And by the way, Mizzou lost to Vanderbilt. Just want to have that on the record last year. We go to the top. We go to the top of the odds board here. And Cole, I'm sure it's not a surprise. Georgia, the short shot at +260. Texas is just a bit above 3-1. And then there's a little gap here getting to A&M at +850. Bama is +850. LSU at 9-1. Those are your single digit odds. I'll give you that grouping. Maybe the team that stands out to you the most, or any value where you look at it long term for how this conference schedule will really stand up.
I think in that grouping, LSU is the wild card. It doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean that it's a team that you can't bank on. But I think the LSU, you got to remind yourself, it's 56 new players and almost an entire new offense coming into Baton Rouge with Lane Kiffin. But at the same time, let me remind everybody, it's Lane Kiffin's offense, but Charlie Weiss Jr. at the helm, an offense that the last 3 years has been top 10 in almost every single metric. They know how to run the football, and they're not buried in the cupboard down in Tiger Stadium. They don't have Kewon Lacy, but they still have Harlan Berry and Caden Durham, and they brought in Dylan Jones, the transfer from Wisconsin. So they're going to be good in that spot. The wide receiver room, it's a lot of wide receiver twos that could end up breaking out as wide receiver ones. If you go back and watch Chase Brown's tape at Kansas State, he was lethal against Big 12 competition. When you look at Jackson Harris from Hawaii, fantastic player in the Mountain West Conference. You get Trey Wilson. His biggest fault at Florida was he couldn't stay healthy. But when he's healthy, he is one of the more prolific options in the slot in college football. So I think that when you look at this team, they could go one way or another. I could easily see them making the college football playoff. I think they're going to have a top 30 defense. My main question is, are they the Texas of 2026, where they lose a game early and it comes back to bite them in the rear end because of they finished 9-3? Like, they drop the game at Ole Miss, and then the next week they play Texas A&M, and they go back to back, and now they're starting off the year 2-2. They drop another game randomly, but they look like one of the 12 best teams when we get to the season's end. Is the playoff committee going to keep them on out, kind of like they did Texas and Notre Dame last year?
Talking to Cole Thompson, give him a follow at Mr. Cole Thompson, host of the SEC Unfiltered podcast. And I don't want to say that this wouldn't have happened under Nick Saban, but when you look at the futures market for Alabama pricing, it almost feels disrespectful. +850 to win the SEC, 20-1 to win the national championship behind schools like Clemson, Miami, Tennessee. I mean, Cole, is this Kalen DeBoer, like, we got to get the profile up a little bit, or are those prices accurate for where they are post-Saban?
I think it's accurate right now because of just so much change in the world of college football. You guys got to remind yourself that in a 12-team playoff format, for one school that's not getting that first round bye, they're playing four extra games that weren't promised. And usually the loser of the SEC championship is also playing another extra game because they have to go to Atlanta 2 weeks before. So it's a long pathway for you to be able to guarantee that you're going to front yourself up and be able to make a run in the postseason. What I will say is Alabama did not have that juice last year in the physical fight department. I think that Kalen DeBoer has a good offensive identity. I think that he has the weaponry. I think that he has the personnel that he wants to run. And that defense is loaded top to bottom. I mean, when you talk about that secondary, they're going to be fighting with guys to get reps on the field that would start anywhere else in the country. But the problem is, the thing with Nick Saban, he never allowed his team to act docile. He never allowed his team to show up to the game and not feel like that they were being competitive. And there have been multiple instances over the last 2 years with Kalen DeBoer where it's been passive for Alabama. It has been pedestrian for Alabama. The Florida State game we could throw to. The SEC championship we could throw to. They waved the white flag in the second quarter against Indiana by going for it on fourth down in their own territory because they knew that this was the game right here. So I think that you need that physical fight. I think that you need that more mean in the tooth kind of feel. You need a BAMF. That's what you need right now on the offensive line, who's not going to be afraid to punch somebody and go ahead and knock them out and probably loosen a few teeth protecting their quarterback. That's what you need. And honestly, if Kalen DeBoer gets that this year, Alabama's schedule is manageable. I love the quarterback room. I think both Austin Mack and Keelon Russell would start for almost every other school in the SEC. They had a really good offseason of transfer portal additions. And while there's a lot of uncertainty for Alabama on the offensive line, guys, all I heard last season was, oh, Alabama's offensive line is dreadful. They can't run the football. It's like, so what do you want? Do you want consistency of underwhelming players or an uncertainty to where maybe you have the most slept on offensive line in the country?
Cole, talk to me about Pete Golding's crew. What an audition it was for him after the whole issue and the drama with Lane Kiffin. Speaking of drama, you know, were we going to have Trinidad Chambliss back? Were we not? Would he be eligible? Okay, we've got questions answered there. Ole Miss of value in your eyes, just looking at where their schedule sets up, obviously looking at the talent that will return in that up-tempo offense. Your kind of thoughts early on here about where the Rebels could be headed into 2026?
They are such an interesting case, mainly because of you return the best quarterback in college football and arguably the best running back in the SEC, if not the best running back in college football. And so when you have those two elements to your game, a guy that has the Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel, Jameis Winston, Vince Young magic to make plays behind the line of scrimmage and just know that it's never dead, you're never out of a game. And I think that that will be the blessing for a guy like Pete Golding in year one, having a quarterback like Trinidad Chambliss back. Their offensive line is good. Their wide receiver room is stable. Their defense is still in a question mark area. They did retain Surtain Perkins. They did retain William Echols, two really good pieces for that defense last year that helped them beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. I think that this is a 9-3 team that could get to 10-2. Again, the way that my brain works is I call it the two-win theory. When you get a player that is so elite at what he does, add two wins to what you think they're going to be going into the year. So before Trinidad Chambliss was back in Oxford, I said this was a 7-5 team. He's back in Oxford, add two more wins. Now they're a 9-3 team. This is a guy who I think should be in the favorite for the Heisman Trophy. This is a guy who should be the favorite to win the Davey O'Brien Award. This is the guy who everybody should be fearing for when you come to play in Oxford or on the road. Their schedule, though, which was a major selling point last year, is a lot more tricky this season. You still have games against Georgia. You have to face off against Texas. You have to face off against Oklahoma. South Carolina may be better this season. You got Lane Kiffin coming on into Oxford. You have a neutral site game against Louisville, who is the sleeper in the ACC week one in Nashville. So they will earn their way into the playoffs. That's for certain if they do get there.
45 seconds to go. Let's get down to the brass tacks here, Cole. Who's winning this conference? And how many teams will represent this conference in the college football playoff?
So a wild card that I'm throwing out there is Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is the most slept on team in the SEC going into this year. They have an elite defense. I think that you will get better play from John Mateer and this passing attack this season. But bottom line is Georgia. I mean, until somebody dethrones Kirby Smart, you are going to pick the Bulldogs. I think they have the most complete roster. This is the best roster retention that Kirby has had from five-star talent. So I think they're going to win. I still think four is going to be the number. If you ask me today, who do I think makes the playoff? Georgia's in. The runner-up will be Texas. Oklahoma will sneak their way in at 10-2. And then I think it's going to be Ole Miss simply because of Trinidad Chambliss. If there were to be a fifth, maybe throw in LSU or Alabama, but I think it's going to be four.
And I think I'm ready for some football. Cole, great stuff, man. We appreciate your time. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson. Does a great job hosting that SEC Unlimited podcast. We are back with our best bets next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tuned in to VSiN. VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. Great conversation with Cole Thompson in the last segment. If you're not ready for college football, man, maybe that segment will help you get there, Jensen. I know you and I didn't need it, but now we're even more excited to watch college football here in our very near future. We just watched the British Open, the Open Championship, as they say over there. And I do believe, you know, we've been looking for people that had Ryan Fox tickets. Jensen, did we find one?
Not only did we find one, I had read it aloud yesterday that a bettor at DraftKings Sportsbook had placed a $55 wager in round one on Ryan Fox at 2,000-1 to win the Open, paying $110,000. Well, the boys on Follow the Money yesterday had a chance to interview Seth Fass, the man who is $110,000 richer. Here was why and how he made the bet.
Take us through your decision when you made this bet and why you decided $55 on the dart throw here.
Well, every week I bet on golf. I take the same about 10 golfers. I usually take 7 golfers that are of Asian descent, and then I take the 3 cams. I take Cam Young, Cam Champ, and I take one of the other cams. And then I just throw 4 randoms at the board, and I hope for the best. I woke up late on Thursday thinking I was going to put my bets in, and it started already, so it went live. And I just went down the board. I found some guys, and I just threw darts. And, luckily it hit.
I love it. Jensen,
man.
By the way, if we're not kindred spirits on this one, because you know from doing the show with me now for the better part of 2 years and have been following this show here, and we appreciate those that have, I do the same type thing where I'm going to follow a lot of the same golfers. Like, it's going to be their time. You know, I like to bet Ludvig Åberg just about at every major. I'm going to have tickets on that guy in some way, shape, or form, right? And he likes to pick a guy that he trusts. And at that number, you go down the list. Hey, it's a dart throw, as he mentioned, but 55-1 to cash that kind of ticket, Jensen, that's one hell of a throw.
I mean, at 2,000-1 in round one. I mean, I think that's the craziness of the whole bet. But, boy, congratulations, Seth. Again, you know, sometimes lightning in a bottle is rewarded in kind. That certainly was that. I would never be comfortable doing that, and to each their own. But what a hit, a life-changing bet, no question about it. Speaking of, we have been so great and inundated with lots of awesome emails from people. Again, just throwing it out, buythebooks@vsin.com. You want to email the show a couple of great, big, long-shot winners that came up. Speaking on the golf front, I know we had a gentleman who won one of the promos for DraftKings, Dave, with Jackson Suber. Having, you know, the most amount of birdies in a round. I think it was Michael Sutcliffe who had sent it in to us. He received $27,000 in free bets. So $27,000 free bets. And he has got a couple of big futures in pocket now. Said he played a Lions Super Bowl future now that would pay him $76,000 and a Yannick Sinner to win the men's side of the U.S. Open at $21,000. I don't know about you. How would you handle that? That's a great exercise just in theory.
Whoa.
Because we do see these promos. I already know where one would go. You'd put it on the Cowboys to win, you know, the Super Bowl. That's an easy one. where else would you have to go? Because, yes, it's free, but it's not in your mind, right? You're like, well, I want to get all that because it's an amazing hit. That's another long shot that comes home. Jackson Suber with those most birdies. It was a great DraftKings promo to boot.
Yeah, and I love the way he did that now with Sinner to win at the U.S. Open. Again, we had Zach Cohen on right after we got done with Wimbledon, and he really likes that play. You don't know about Alcaraz. We saw him there at the World Cup final on TV watching Spain. Like, you don't know what the rest of that men's draw is going to look like. So it's a pretty good spot there. But then you get to the age-old question, if he gets to the final, do you hedge? You know, that's everybody's bankroll is going to be different. But, boy, what a nice ticket to be sitting on. You mentioned the Lions, and he's got a big futures ticket on that. Early in the program, please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books. You can listen on your time. We did basically a blind bet test, if you will. And if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have access to this information in our NFL betting guide. So we gave you three plays that we didn't know what those plays would be from the betting guide. And we want to pay off who has these tickets and pockets here from the network. Because a lot of times people go, hey, you guys give this stuff out. Who's got it? Who's actually betting it? Well, the Lions to win the NFC North, we know that that is Stormy Bonantoni. I believe she has that ticket at plus $1.80. I know that's your pick as well to win, but she actually does have that ticket to win the division at plus $1.80. Jonathan Von Tobel is on the Bengals to get over 10.5 wins at plus $1.15. And again, if you like them to win the division, which I do, I think that that's got to be a correlated play that you might want to have in pocket. I'm probably going to be following JVT on that ticket as well. Don't have it in pocket yet. And then there's the one that you know I'm itching to just go see if I can find a number close to that 13-1. But Zach Cohen has that in pocket right now for Super Dak Prescott, as I like to call him, at 13-1 to win the MVP. Again, Brian Schottenheimer has said, I don't know why he's done this. I kind of like it, though, Jensen, that we're going to be there in the Super Bowl. We plan on playing in that game. I mean, it's music to our ears. It hasn't happened for Cowboy fans since 1995. I hope he's not over his skis, but if Zach's going to cash that ticket, it might take the Cowboys being a top seed in the NFC in order to get that home. Remember, it is a quote-unquote regular season award.
Yeah, I'm looking at our people that picked the Cowboys. Stormy did pick the Cowboys to win the NFC East. Zach Cohen did. Will Hill, Steve Mackinnon in on it. Of course, you did, and Jonathan Von Tobel, as well as Matt Eumanns, picking the Cowboys. Trying to look through and see who picked the Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl. There's a Dave Ross, and that's it.
In Shoddy, I trust. I believe you, Brian Schottenheimer. I've heard what you said. Now, you said it after I had already put him in the betting guide to get to the Super Bowl. So maybe Brian heard me. I don't know which one came first, the chicken or the egg here. But, yeah, I do start to get that feeling, though, Jensen. You alluded to it earlier in the program. If not now, when? And it really does feel like the sand in the hourglass for a guy like Dak Prescott, who has reached, I mean, I think much higher heights than I ever thought when he came in as a fourth-round pick out of Mississippi State. He was supposed to be a backup back then, ironically, to the head coach of the New Orleans Saints now, Kellen Moore. He was on the roster then with Tony Romo. And then Romo gets hurt, and then Kellen Moore gets hurt, and they got to play the kid that nobody was even talking about, and he had an unbelievable rookie year. He's had an unbelievable career, but at 13-1, I think that's why Zach Cohen has that in his profile right now, that if not now, when? So I'm picking up what Zach's putting down, and Brian Schottenheimer, I'm listening to you. I've got the Cowboys in the Super Bowl this year. Dare to dream. And last year, by the way, in the betting guide, I had the Eagles to win the division. So before everybody wants to call me a homer, I did bet with my head, not with my heart, a year ago. But I think this is the year that you might want to back the Cowboys a little bit deeper run this very year. Baseball. Gents, we gave out some plays. And again, VSiN Pro subscribers will have access to your plays. And you mentioned the weather. And, you know, you hope when you have some elite starters out there that you don't get the start-stop thing here, Jensen. Do you think we're to the point now that, hey, if we're going to play, we're going to play the game. We're not going to make these guys go out for two innings, three innings, and then shut it down if rain starts.
Yeah, well, we'll kind of see where this goes. But particularly looking at it, and I know we've already received a pretty healthy amount of thunderstorms early this morning in Northeast Ohio. We're looking at not only here in Cleveland, but in Philadelphia, in New York, and Boston, that you could have implications as far as weather goes. Now, ironically, whether that is going to be a delay or in some case, it looks pretty dire towards the Northeast there. So I'll keep a watchful eye on it. Again, for anyone that wants to jump in, and we've had a lot of great, great feedback on what bets you like, especially in the futures market. Buy the books at VSiN.com, the email address. We will definitely be jumping in a lot more as football starts to get here. 2 weeks from Thursday, Dave, the Hall of Fame game, Cardinals and Panthers here in Canton, Ohio, right down the road from yours truly. We'll start in earnest also the end of this week into next week. College football going to be here before you know it. So a lot to like there. Again, VSiN.com to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for our NFL betting guide, as good as it gets, and really some quality content you don't want to miss.
Yeah, there's never a slow time. And by the way, shameless plug, please check out First Strike Podcast with yours truly and Rob Moreno. We'll have some more for you tomorrow from that podcast on Wednesday. So we do that weekly as well. And there's a good sneaky little good card this week and a good, as well. So we'll try to get some betting advantages for you. If you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network and YouTube TV, we appreciate you. And of course, if you want more VSiN access, you can get it. VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. And what a show they've got coming up next. Gil Alexander back in the hot seat with Kelly Bidwin coming up next here on A Numbers Game. Joe Sheehan is going to share his best bets from Major League Baseball. And professional handicapper Michael Montesano is going to be joining the program. It was great to meet Michael back in Vegas when I was still there. He's got his best bets for the quickly approaching college football season. It's all next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.